Hello, and thanks for tuning in to my Coping with COVID workshop podcast. I'm Nick Walker, a counselor at Rogue Community College. All across the world right now, communities are adapting to the challenges presented by COVID-19. The Rogue Valley is no different. Today, I'd like to discuss common reactions to COVID-19 and some things you might try to help cope in this trying time. In this podcast, the goal will be to help you gain a better understanding of your own reactions to COVID-19, identify some thinking patterns and where they came from, and develop strategies for managing your own self-care. I also have a few worksheets attached that you can do on your own after listening. We will touch on ways to handle being in quarantine, discussing COVID with children, and managing relationships while self-isolating. Our focus today will not be on the virus itself. For more facts and health recommendations about the outbreak, please visit sites such as cdc.gov or who.int. My hope is that you will find some of what we discussed today to be helpful in your day-to-day mental health experience with COVID-19. I'll also share links to some resources that were helpful in gathering information for this podcast. To start off, I'd like to share some basic tips for handling COVID and the quarantine on a day-to-day basis. One important thing to keep in mind is that whatever you're feeling in the midst of this ordeal is valid and normal. This situation came suddenly, worsened quickly, and is still changing to this day. There is no right or wrong way to feel about it, nor is there a playbook for what anyone is supposed to do. In dealing with a quarantine, it is common to experience increased worry or stress, difficulty sleeping or eating healthy, sadness, lack of motivation, trouble concentrating, confusion, irritability, frustration, and loneliness. You may feel guilt around these feelings as well, like you're not supposed to let them get you down, or that others have it worse so you shouldn't complain. While it's important not to wallow in these negative feelings, it's also important not to try and shut them out. They are a natural signal from your mind and body that things are not normal right now. A popular term for a lot of these feelings is cabin fever, which is not an actual diagnosis, but rather a term used to describe how people tend to react to long periods of isolation or confinement. Quarantines directly impact three areas of mental health: autonomy, competency, and connectedness. Basically, am I free to do what I want to do? Do I have control over my situation? And am I alone in dealing with this? This sudden loss of control can send us into a fight, flight, or freeze state of mind. One either wants to escape the stress, confront it all day long, or just become numb to it. These responses are controlled by our amygdala, the part of our brains that helps perceive and process strong emotions such as fear, anger, or sadness. While these responses can be helpful to immediate, short-term threats, they are not very helpful for long periods of stress. Sometimes the amygdala can overreact in the interest of protecting us. This can create unpleasant physical sensations, increased heart rate, digestive bladder issues, sweat, muscle tension, racing thoughts, dizziness, pain or tightness in the chest, and shallow breathing. Notably, chest tightness and shortness of breath are also common signs of COVID-19. You may experience these symptoms in the short term as anxiety reactions. If so, you may want to try some deep breathing or relaxation exercises to see if the symptoms alleviate. However, if you are concerned about these symptoms or if they persist or worsen over time, seek medical attention as soon as possible. It is easy to become overwhelmed by distressing thoughts or feelings. When this happens, grounding techniques can help keep your mind and body focused on the present moment. I'll lead you through a couple of exercises here. I'll also share a few more in a handout that you can try afterwards. First, let's start off with a breathing exercise. One common physical symptom of anxiety is quick, shallow breathing. This exercise will help you practice breathing with your diaphragm, also known as belly breathing. You can do this in any position, but it's helpful to do it by lying down first to really get a sense of how it works. Lie down on your back, with a pillow under your head, your knees bent and your back flat. You can stretch out your legs if that's more comfortable. Place one hand on your belly and one hand on your upper chest. Begin to slowly inhale and focus on expanding your belly first, so that your lower hand moves with your belly. The hand on your chest should remain still as possible. Then, slowly exhale, focusing on returning your belly and lower hand to their original position. Continue to breathe like this for a few minutes, always focusing on moving the belly first. If your mind wanders, gently bring your attention back to your breathing. Let's just focus on the breathing for a few moments here. This exercise is useful by itself, but it can also be used with mindfulness techniques to help keep your attention in the present moment. These are also known as grounding techniques. I'll share one with you now. While breathing, see if you can notice five things around you that you can see. They can be objects, colors, light patterns, shadows, anything. See if you can focus on just those five things for a few moments while maintaining deep breathing. If you find your attention drifting, that's okay. Gently notice it without judgment. Then bring your focus back to the exercise. After a while, shift your attention to finding four things that you can feel. It can be your feet on the floor, the air around you, the clothes you're wearing. Take a few moments to focus on those feelings. Next, try to listen for three things that you can hear. Birds outside, appliances running, cars on the highway. Spend a little time with those sounds while continuing to breathe. After that, what are two things that you can smell? A nearby candle, fresh air from a window. Finally, bring your attention to one good thing about yourself. Can be big or small. Something you accomplished, a trait or feature about yourself that you enjoy, a nice thing someone said about you. Hold that thing in your mind for a few moments while you breathe. And as you're breathing, just keep in mind, even with all the uncertainty going on, that these things are always here to draw upon. The things around you, aspects of yourself, and even something as simple as breathing. Let's just try to focus on our breathing for a few more moments. When you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. These exercises may feel strange or frustrating when you first start doing them. The key is to practice so that you can more easily call on them during periods of high stress. While they may not take away your anxiety, they may help reduce it. Try to practice one of these exercises for a few minutes each day. While working on these feelings, also try to pay attention to your thoughts. Throughout your day, you may find distressing thoughts flooding your mind. These are called automatic thoughts. We don't choose to have these thoughts. They're just another thing your mind creates when it is anxious. For example, if you notice that your hands are sweaty, you might have the automatic thought of, "I must be getting sick because my hands are sweaty." It is important not to look at these thoughts as something negative. It's just your brain trying to protect itself, even though it's not a very helpful way of doing it. When these thoughts come up, try and see if you can come up with an alternative thought. Ask yourself, what are other ways of looking at this situation? Am I looking at the whole picture? What is the evidence that this thought is true? What are some facts I might be ignoring or discounting? If a friend or loved one shared this thought with me, what might I tell them? Along with this podcast, I'm attaching some worksheets that you can do on your own. One of them is called an Alternative Response Worksheet. This will help you plan ahead by identifying certain situations that may trigger unhelpful automatic thoughts and behaviors, and coming up with alternative thoughts and coping skills. For example, a situation that could arise during this pandemic could be the government releases an update with the new case that was found in your county. When you think about this situation, what automatic thoughts come up for you? What about physical sensations, like muscle tension or increased heart rate? What emotions do you feel in response to this? What choices would you feel the impulse to make or avoid making in response to this situation? If we practice identifying these common symptoms ahead of time, we can get better at predicting our responses and making different choices. If your automatic thought is, "It's only a matter of time before I get sick," you might respond to that thought with, "I'm taking every precaution I can to stay safe." If your tendency is to isolate out of fear, you might practice reaching out to a loved one or taking a walk while observing safety precautions. When you make these other choices, take note of how they make you feel. You might run across one that breaks up the cycle of negative thoughts and feelings. If something doesn't seem to be working, you can always change it up next time. There are some small things you can do on a regular basis to help manage some of these feelings during quarantine. If possible, try to go outside for at least a little bit each day. It's best to find an area with a limited number of people around. Otherwise, practice social distancing and wear a mask when you go out. It doesn't have to be a long trip, but even a little exposure to sunlight and fresh air can have an impact on one's mood. If you find that going out is not possible, try opening a window in your house and moving around for a little bit. By the same token, exercise can be a major stress relief, particularly during a quarantine, when most of us are spending a lot of time sitting, laying down, or otherwise limiting our movement. It doesn't have to be a lot, but even doing 10 minutes of light cardio or stretching can help improve blood flow and release endorphins. Research also shows that consistent exercise can promote long-term changes in the brain, including memory, coping, cognitive functioning, mood, and self-esteem. Keeping our minds active is also important during a quarantine. Try to find activities that are creative or stimulating to work on. Personal projects are a good way to channel anxious energy into something constructive. While it's understandable to want to stay up to date on the news, too much exposure to information about COVID-19 can make stress, anxiety, and depression symptoms worse. This includes seeing posts about it on social media. When possible, try to set a limit for your daily intake of this information. When in quarantine, it is common to experience a loss of structure in one's personal schedule. This can easily lead to disrupted sleep schedules, meal times, and general aimlessness. Setting a reasonable schedule for yourself can help manage this. Also, maintaining social connections is important to overall health. While a quarantine can make face-to-face interaction difficult, there are other ways to check in on loved ones and reinforce a sense of togetherness. Consider making a plan to reach out to at least one person per day, whether it is through text, a phone call, social media, or video chatting. How we frame quarantine in our minds can affect our outlook on the situation. It is easy to feel powerless, or that this is something that is being forced upon us. However, it is important to keep in mind that while this is a difficult situation, we are making a choice. These measures are intended to slow the spread of this virus. By choosing to comply with the rules of the quarantine, we're helping by making a conscious choice to put the health of ourselves, our loved ones, and our community first. It's not an easy sacrifice to make, but it is one that makes it easier for healthcare providers to do their jobs. Remember that by making the choice to stay in, you could very well be saving a life. Dr. Russ Harris, author of The Happiness Trap, and a practitioner of acceptance and commitment therapy, tells us we should face COVID. In this case, the word FACE is an acronym, an approach for handling COVID with mindfulness and committed action. Let's go through that acronym. The F stands for Focus on What You Can Control. The reality is that we as individuals have little control over the big issues. The coronavirus itself, the government's response, the actions of other people, and so on. However, each of us still has choices to make every day, choices that could still affect things that are important to us, our jobs, our family and friends, our community. If the pandemic is like a storm, our choices are like the anchor of a ship. They don't make the storm go away, but they can keep us from getting swept out to sea. Dr. Harris explains how to do that with the next three letters, which work best as a group. ACE. Acknowledge your thoughts and feelings. Come back into your body. And engage in what you're doing. Acknowledging your thoughts and feelings goes back to what I was saying before. There is no right or wrong way to experience this. It's okay to feel sad, frustrated, scared, angry, or whatever else that comes up for you. If you can, try to examine those feelings in your inner world without judgment, almost like you're a curious scientist exploring these feelings for the first time. Coming back into your body references the grounding and breathing exercises we did previously. As we acknowledge how we're feeling, we also try to focus on our breathing and on the sights, sounds, and smells around us, because they ground us in the present moment and give us some control. Finally, engage in what you're doing. What is important to you in this moment? What choice can you make right now that will better your life, the lives of your loved ones, or your community? When we take action on those things, we can again exert some control while staying in the present moment. Depending on your situation, committed action could involve helping your children, a significant other, or even just yourself through this ordeal. For parents, it is important to remember that children take their cues for how they should react to situations based on how their parents react. Modeling healthy coping skills for yourself can also send a message to your kids that they should do similarly. Whenever possible, try to implement some kind of schedule, as children tend to crave structure. However, be sure to give yourself some grace with that aspect. It is not critical that kids have every moment planned out during this time, and in fact that may be impossible given the nature of kids to begin with. Try to pick your battles and find what works for you. when it comes to the pandemic, try to discuss the situation with them in an age-appropriate way. Explain the risks and why it's important that everyone do their part to help one another stay safe and healthy. Also, remember to check in with your children and hold space for what they might be feeling. Children experience stress too, and it may show through increased crying, acting out, trouble concentrating, reverting to behaviors they have outgrown, also known as regression, unhealthy sleeping or eating, and headaches or body pain. Answer any questions they might have, reassure them that you'll keep them safe, and let them know it's okay for them to feel what they're feeling. A lot of things that apply for you will apply to your children. Try to limit the family's exposure to news coverage on the pandemic. Help them find ways to socialize, exercise, and channel their energy in positive or creative ways. Quarantine can also place additional stress on relationships with a significant other. You may find yourselves in a situation where you are forced to spend more time together than is healthy. As with kids, creating a schedule may be helpful in managing stress. If one or both of you need some alone time, see if you can minimize time together in the same space, or designate times when you agree to leave one another alone. However, it is also important to communicate with each other. Share with each other your personal experience dealing with the quarantine. Practice listening, compassion, and non-judgment. Try not to blame one another or minimize each other's concerns. As everyone reacts to this pandemic differently, you may find yourself unable to relate to or solve your partner's concerns. That's okay. You can validate their feelings by saying something like, "That sounds really difficult," or "I'm sorry to hear that you're going through this." Sometimes just listening and making the other person feel heard can help. Now is also a good time to focus on the positives. What you like about each other, what you admire, what you're inspired by. This may be a good opportunity to find creative ways to reconnect, like working on a new project together. By focusing on how best to help each other through this difficult time, it may help take your mind off your own stressors and improve your relationship in the long run. What we've discussed today is by no means an exhaustive list. If you find yourself in need of more assistance, please contact the RCC Counseling Department. Our email is counseling@roguecc.edu. Counselors can meet with you via phone or Zoom. Also, continue to check our page on the website or on the RCC app for updates about more resources, groups, and workshops as they're announced. I hope that you found something useful in this podcast or in the worksheets attached. When all else fails, remind yourself to take things one day at a time. This pandemic will end eventually, and the quarantine will end with it. Lots of people are working very hard every day to get us through this ordeal. That includes you, even if it doesn't always seem like it. Be kind to yourself and others, follow the guidelines, and breathe. Even though we are apart, we will get through this together.